Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. TGIF, we air the grievances on Friday, and yours could be aired right here. Just call us, 844-967-2789. I'm going to start with a minor grievance. Dom's off today, so get over it. You know, you got to be compassionate of Dom. If he works an entire five-day week, I think he melts, so... Dom off today. He'll be back on Monday. Don't worry about that now, man. We'll deal with that later. The callers will have to be patient as I get the show started. I don't have my phones up yet. So, you know, you can call, but be patient. 844-967-2789. But other than Dom and Evan here in the world headquarters, lightly screening the calls, I talked to Fancy Brian. He's working hard. If you were unaware, Civic Media rolling out some new radio stations all across the heart of central Wisconsin starting Monday, August 1st. Very excited. A lot of work been going on behind the scenes, and some of it's starting to sneak into public now. But tell your friends, especially those living in the Northwoods, come Monday, we have a presence in Wausau, Wisconsin, WXEO, calling it Bull Falls Radio. Very excited about it. 12:30 a.m. I believe it's 98.9 FM. Anywhere in Marathon County, you should be able to find that signal. And then in Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point, you'll be able to hear 1320 AM. And that's a pretty big signal. So I'm very excited about this big AM signal. And they have a very hometown feeling to the station currently. But we will add our lineup starting at noon there. WFHR, it's called. Again, that's 1320 AM or 97.5 FM, based out of Wisconsin Rapids. And they're also coming on board Monday. And we've got a local Monday lineup in Wisconsin Rapids. I'll be up there on Monday. I'm gonna join James at about 10 o'clock on Monday morning. And I believe on Monday you'll be able to stream WFHR right here at WFHR.com. We'll have to verify. I'll get back to you on where to best stream that if you want to hear Crudy appearing on the morning show in Wisconsin Rapids. Then a little bit later in the day, I'm going to amble on up to Wausau. Those are, you know, they're not exactly right on top of each other, but 45 minutes away to the north. And I'm going to go up to Wausau, and I'm hoping to make some friends up there. And we're going to roll out the very first Devil's Advocates radio show in about a decade, like 6 years, that played in Wausau. Dom and I used to play in Wausau, very short period of time. But we will be, I'm sure, they'll be lining the streets with roses for the return of the Devil's Advocates and the Civic Media lineup, which includes our friend Kristen Bry. You've been hearing her on 540 AM. And also, Pat Kreitlow will be the new morning product. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News. Well, he's going to be broadcasting right here. Not in Madison, not in Waukesha. Don't even start pounding me. But on the news stations, we're going to have Pat Kreitlow launching in Wausau on Monday morning, 8 to 11. I don't know. What's it called? Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, something of the effect.
Oh, yeah.
So, more listing options, more ways to affect the political airwaves. And I was looking forward to getting these stations up for a big, contentious, Democratic primary U.S. senatorial race. And then I saw another headline in the paper earlier today. And my initial reaction was, what?
What? Sarah Godlewski's getting out?
Sarah Godlewski, if you're unaware, fine candidate, currently the Wisconsin State Treasurer. And up until earlier today, she was a U.S. senatorial candidate. No longer. She's out. She pulled the plug also. And I gotta look at my early voting friends. I'm not an early voting kind of guy. I'm a go to the polling place, get the pulse of the electorate. Like to see how many people are voting on election day. That's just my habit. So it doesn't affect me one iota. And if you hadn't noticed, I'd kind of gotten on the Mandela bandwagon a little bit, to be honest. I sensed the momentum. You know what I mean? Since the DPW, everything had kind of broke Mandela's way. So, you know, I'm not a binding rod, but I just had this strong sense that Mandela had pulled away. The undecideds were coming home for Mandela. So anyways, a lot of people are calling this a done deal. This race is done. And I would wonder, have you voted yet? Did you think you were voting for Sarah Godlewski or Tom Nelson or Alex Lazary or even Mandela? You know, you can spoil your prior ballot. And apparently you could cast a new ballot in the partisan primary right up to Election Day, August 9th. I'm not exactly sure how all the rules work because I haven't spoiled. No need to spoil Crudy's ballot. Maybe my diet, but not my ballot. So anyways, are you ticked? Does it bother you at all? Did you go vote for someone who's no longer in the race? And why did all these candidates just, what, within 2 weeks of the primary, and good for Mandela Barnes, and it's not over yet. There are other qualified candidates on the ballot, and we're going to have one of them join us today. His name is Peter Pekarsky. You've probably heard Peter's ads right here on WAUK and Devil Radio. And Peter's fighting the good fight out there. But Peter's had a little problem of access to, let's say, the debate stage. Well, 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, they had a debate. And really, it was just the quote-unquote top four and Stephen Olcara. And they had this pre-qualifying threshold. You had to have 5,000 donors. Well, now there is another, I guess it's not a debate, a candidate forum, something of the sort, a televised event. And last we heard, Peter is being excluded again. The news earlier this week that there was a contraction in the field didn't mean that, you know, the powers that be that want to televise this U.S. senatorial event, they didn't say, great, now we can get all the remaining candidates on stage. They just kind of shrunk their criterion and said, no, we're just going to have less people on stage. Well, that was the answer they were giving Peter Pekarsky right up until Sarah Godlewski pulled the plug. Now what you going to do? So I'll be very curious to see if our friend Peter Pekarsky makes it on this stage. I hope he does. I mean, I hope he does. You know, Mandela should not be anointed the nominee. No. Do I think he's won this race fair and square? Yes, I do. These other candidates will still be on the ballot. You know, if you still like Tom Nelson, vote for him. Or Sarah or Alex, still vote for him. Your vote won't propel them to the nomination, but you can still make your choice if you want to. Or perhaps you could consider one of the quote-unquote lower-tier candidates, Mr. Olcara. I think he's felt new life. I bet you Peter Pekarsky is feeling great about his position. He's got to be in second or third right now. So anyways, it's not done until the votes are cast on August 9th. And early absentee ballots, I guess some of them are going to get spoiled. I don't even like that word. Spoiled. And you can start over and recast and perhaps pick another favorite. And Mandela's not that guy yet. But even Ron Johnson, his turn to start taking pot shots at Mandela Barnes. His opponent sees the writing on the wall. He's not waiting. So maybe I'll share the tweets a little bit later in this big show. But I'm just curious. Now, Evan, I'm going to ask you. I know you pay attention. You're producing all these political shows, man. Hard not to pay attention. Mm-hmm. You've got to meet so many of these candidates. Why didn't anybody make it to Election Day? I mean, come on, a meteor could hit. You could catch an inside straight. Hail Mary. You don't know.
Could that be part of why they're suspending their campaigns? You know, people have cast their ballots. I mean, that's what I understand it to mean.
Well, it's pretty hard, sure, if you quote unquote suspend your campaign, mm-hmm. but they've all three of these candidates have endorsed Mandela Barnes. Go vote for him. Wait, something happened. I'm reanimating my campaign. Now vote for me. You know, it's a tough argument to make. I've never seen a candidate spring back into life per se, but anyways, could happen. But
is that spirit of cooperation in name of defeating Ron Johnson? Is that where this is coming from, to coalesce and consolidate the power for our best shot?
Well, I hope so. I mean, each of the candidates was gracious in that they stepped down and they did endorse, you know, perhaps when their endorsement is still influential. And I think they all saw the internal polling. You know, it wasn't just Lazary's team that knew that Mandela had struck a fairly substantial lead. I mean, I'm sensing it on the streets as I talk to people. So I had figured it out, but I hadn't seen it quantified in the numbers. I suspect these campaigns paid for some polling. But anyways, it's troubling to me. I mean, I don't feel robbed of the choice. Maybe the political theater. I like staying up late at night on election night and, you know, stay up until the last vote is counted and Scott Walker loses, or Donald Trump, as the case may be. You know, but on this election night, there will be perhaps very little drama. But who knows? Maybe a guy like Peter Bukarski, our soon-to-be guest, maybe shocks the world. You never know. But I suspect it will be Mandela Barnes. Sarah Godlewski, we wish you well. But I can tell you, I don't envy the well-to-do, the self-funders, these political candidates. I don't think they're perhaps the image I would want for the Democratic Party. But, you know, everyone has the right to go out and make that decision for themselves. But I got my Mega Millions ticket right here. And I'll tell you what, if I hit all five plus the Mega Millions Mega Ball, if I hit it, baby, I'm going to self-fund my ass to like a school board race. $1 billion should get me on a school board somewhere. Come back. Peter Bukarski, a U.S. senatorial candidate. There's a dwindling number. More devil's advocates.
I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the field. I will suspend my campaign immediately.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. We are joined right now live via phone by U.S. senatorial candidate Peter Bukarski. Peter, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Thanks very much, Mike. Great to be here.
Peter, I know you've been seeking the seat currently held, or at least the nomination to represent the Democrats against Ron Johnson. And this race has been all shook up this week. Obviously, we've seen three of the front-running or top-tier candidates, as some describe them, Peter. They've gotten out of the race. And there is a candidate event coming up. And, Peter, earlier this week, you and I were talking, and you mentioned to me you were still being excluded from the candidate forum. Are you still being excluded now with the exit of Sarah Godlewski?
As a matter of fact, the only reason I'm not being excluded is because we cut a television ad and put it up, at least on the website, yesterday, called a press conference for 11 o'clock this morning. And just before that press conference, WISN changed their mind and decided to cancel the town hall. So I'm not being excluded because there's no town hall because they canceled it.
Well, that's one way to get around it, Peter.
That still doesn't help the people of this country or this state hear what the candidates for the office, the people on the ballot, all of them are saying. But yes, that's one way for them to get around the immediate problem they faced.
Now, Peter, you've been running a very clever ad on television very recently. I saw it. You were standing, what, outside the Five Serve Forum at the time. Yep. Alex Lazary was still in the race. Godlewski was in the race. And you were, what, swatting away basketballs and acknowledging or at least pointing attention to the fact that some of your opponents were very rich and they were self-funding. And then you did this play on big basketballs and hence the AC/DC and the big balls for you, Peter. Clever ad, though. It caught my attention. I thought it was well done. Are you trying to make a last-ditch effort to win this race, Peter?
We're just continuing the race we've been running since July 1st of last year to win the race. Whether I don't know whether it's... I started in 13th. I'm second today, okay? So if you want to, I'm not going to, far be it for me to quibble with Mike Crute. I just view it as continuing the race and continuing to talk to all the people in Wisconsin about representing all the people in Wisconsin. You know, and it's time for everybody to decide where the people left in this race stand on the issues and where you want them to stand. Like, for example, legalizing marijuana, expunging records of people who are in jail, you know, for minor offenses. They had a joint, weren't selling it, personal use, and they're off spending years instead of with their family. And legalizing marijuana will put legal money into communities all over this state. It's legal money, legal jobs, economic opportunity. Where do people stand on that issue? Where do people stand on taking a serious look at the report, 10-point report? It's reasonable. I've read it. I've been talking about it on the campaign trail of the National African-American Reparations Commission. We have abused the African-American community in this country for centuries. And the least we can do is take a look at this. For any action to happen, you're going to need a vote in the House and the Senate. The President of the United States is going to have to approve it. But we ought to take a look at it. The question is, who can take care of Ron Johnson? Who's quick on their feet without advisors and can handle Ron Johnson on the spot on the debate stage?
Let's play a theoretical. Let's put you on the debate stage with Ron Johnson. What's your first attack against the man?
First off, he violated his oath of office by failing to convict Donald Trump at his second impeachment trial. To get into office, Johnson had to promise he was going to support the United States Constitution. Trump clearly was not. He should have voted to convict.
I'm sorry to interrupt your. You make the argument. I'm sorry to interrupt. You go.
To be a senator, you got to promise to support the Constitution. Ron Johnson was not supporting the Constitution. You have influence on the tax code. Ron Johnson used his influence on the tax code to take $500 million from the American people and give it to some people who contributed one way or another about $20 million to his campaign. That $500,000 could have been used, I'm sorry, $500 million could have been used to give full tuition for a year to 50,000 students at UW or 100,000 students in one of the fine technical colleges we have. And finally, Ron Johnson took $1.25 million from the National Rifle Association and hasn't done a thing to stop the carnage in our schools and on our streets. That's just for starters. That's like, what, I took a minute here and I got 90 left in the debate with him? That's the start of it. Well, there are a whole bundle of other things he's done.
Peter, as one of the remaining candidates in the U.S. senatorial field, obviously part of it is winning the nomination. Part of it is showing you are the best candidate to take on Ron Johnson. But you have been limited not just in your ability to gain access to the debate field, but also, Peter, you've told me you've been limited in where you could place ads. And we've accepted your ads, and we would have accepted any of the candidates' ads, including Ron Johnson, because that's what we got to do. We're FCC regulated. But you've had some trouble placing ads. Tell us about that.
I did. We offered an ad to Bally Sports. We wanted to put an ad up, the same ad which you saw and thought was a good ad, same ad you described. It's on our website, PetPekarskyForWisconsin.com. At the About Peter tab, you'll see the ad. Another ad we put up about the censorship going on and keeping us off the stage. Anyway, we put it up, offered it to Bally Sports, and they came back and said, no, we will not take this ad because it might harm our business dealings with a business owned by somebody then running against me for the Senate seat. So that's what they said. That ad has met the FCC requirements, was approved by stations in every television market in this state, and is on the air. in every television market in this state. So it wasn't an issue of not keeping the federal communications happy. It was an issue of the outside business interests of a candidate, effectively, whether the candidate knew it or not, stopping that ad and stopping the American people, the people of Wisconsin, from hearing what one of the candidates on the ballot in this race had to say to them.
Well, Peter, we've always tried to give you a platform here, and I got to tell you, my friend, I like your ad. I think people should see it. It's a visual product, doesn't play well on the radio. But Peter Bukarski, never let it be said here on the Devil's Advocates, man, that you don't have some big balls. Go watch his ad if you don't know what I mean. Peter Bukarski, we wish you luck. If people want to support your campaign, give them the website, sir.
Sure. It's BukarskiForWisconsin.com. Bukarski, F-O-R, Wisconsin.com. Look on the upper right of the homepage. There's a contribute button, a donate button there. We would appreciate whatever you can help.
Good luck, Peter. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We made it to the weekend, folks. It's Friday. Thank you, Peter Bukarski. Good luck in your U.S. senatorial campaign. Now, if Peter drops out later today, I'm going to be pissed. But anyways, good luck, Peter. I got a fine guest who's joined me in the Batcave. He's Batman. He is Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I feel bad. I stood up, and now you're standing up.
Oh, that's right. I think my old man knees can take it for a half hour or however long you want me here.
Well, what happened to our U.S. senatorial primary, man? I was all excited. We got like a two-year campaign, and it's going to end with a thud.
Well, we had some really good candidates, but I saw, I think they saw the writing on the wall. They were, Tom Nelson was running out of money. It would take a while for Lazary and Gadlewski to run out of money, but they saw the poll numbers. They had internal polls showing Mandela gaining ground, as you were suggesting, that the people who were undecided were going over to Mandela. But the real kicker was this, I think, and I haven't really seen it reported explicitly, but, you know, imagine you're Lazary or Gadlewski. You're talking to your campaign. You say, what can we do to close the gap here? And any decent campaign strategist is going to say, you know, your only answer is to go negative on Mandela. And neither of them had the stomach really to do that, especially Lazary, because Lazary wants a future in politics here. If he goes after Mandela, he'd be doing Ron Johnson's work. I don't think the folks at the Bucks would be real happy with him if he did that, including some of his players. And so he said that's not worth it. And when Tom Nelson dropped out, a lot of the Nelson people, or people who were undecided between Nelson and Mandela Barnes, they were going straight over to Mandela Barnes. So that made it even more difficult for Lazary. Gadlewski had taken a couple real cheap shots at Mandela Barnes and got some hell for it on Twitter when she said she condemned him for getting endorsements from AOC and from Bernie Sanders and called him an extremist, basically, Sarah Gadlewski did on Twitter, one of her advisors did, and she got instant blowback on that. So I think the candidates knew that it was going to be hard to go negative and be counterproductive for them to go negative against Mandela Barnes, and so there was no path.
I think the negatives, the Democrats should consider that in future primaries. And it's not that I want to see any of our blue candidates eviscerated, but I think it makes every race inevitable. Whoever's got the highest name recognition at the start ends up as our nominee. And in this case, perhaps Mandela, I mean, he's a very charismatic candidate. He's got a lot going on, a lot of it is, I like to say. And so did a few of the other candidates, but Mandela, you know, he's won statewide election. I'm harboring no ill will at the outcome, as it apparently seems to be that Mandela is going to win this nomination. But when are Democrats going to start competing? I get the whole thought of negative, but if you don't point out any of the negatives, any of the flaws of your opponents, then the first time they ever have to answer that question about their flaws is when they're on the debate stage with Ron Johnson. When a guy like Scott Walker's taken to Twitter, and then some reporter picks it up and asks them, have you ever plagiarized? And if they look like a deer in the headlight because they've never been challenged in a primary, it can all turn. I mean,
I agree. They need batting practice. But look, at this point in the race, there was no percentage for them to go on. And this was different than, you know, when the powers that be got in and they told everybody to get out so that, you know, Biden could win and Bernie couldn't win. You know, this was the candidates themselves saying, I just can't do that. But I do think Mandela Barnes has got to be ready for those fastballs. And his staff has really got to get him prepped. You know, he's going to get all sorts of stuff thrown at him right away, and he needs to be able to respond. So, you know, all he's got to do is read Dan Bice from the Journal Sentinel over the last year, and he'll know what pitches are coming, but he's got to be able to hit those pitches.
Now, cynically, the Republicans have been looking forward to running against Mandela Barnes. I think, you know, there is a dog whistle racism that will certainly factor into the general elective campaign against Mandela. And there's all other things. There are certain things Mandela's had, certain debt issues, didn't pay his taxes on time, didn't pay some tickets on time. You know, it sounds a lot like I was at about 32 years old. And, you know, we're all imperfect human beings. And I think Mandela, like Sarah Godlewski, like Alex Lazary, like Tom Nelson, certainly like Ron Johnson, they all have flaws. And they all have to be challenged on their flaws. Maybe I'm different than the rest, Matt, but I always wanted to see a challenge primary. I thought the current governor got too easy a pass in his race. I think that this race has turned into a dud. And I think ultimately, I hope it doesn't hurt Mandela. I hope the lack of being challenged on whatever his perceived weaknesses are, I hope he is prepared. If he's got those scripts, if he's got his narrative in mind. And I think there are times where, you know, if there's something in my history, I'd want to get out front. I'd want to go tell my narrative before the world started telling it about me. Well, no one told the negatives about Mandela Barnes in the primary. Mandela tried to get out in front of some stuff in that debate. And people are like, well, I didn't. They just started paying attention. They don't even know that. But wait until it's official. Everyone's going to know all his secrets.
Yeah, but whether he got hit with them by Godlewski or Lazary or Tom Nelson, or whether he gets hit by them by his staff in mock debates, he's going to need to be prepared.
But
even in the first debate, the other candidates weren't throwing it.
There were no haymakers thrown.
So he wasn't going to get it. You know, even if the race continued for the next 10 days, he wasn't going
to
get it.
Don't you think there are some things that, you know, to at least Democrats, we hold our candidates, I think, to a higher standard. And if there was something about any of these candidates' resume that we as an electorate would find disqualifying, I'd much rather find out, you know, early in the primary season than, you know, in October as a surprise. So that's just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the surprises on Mandela Barnes have already been out there. And he knows what's coming. His staff knows what's coming. They got to be prepping him today if they haven't prepped him for the last, you know, 4 months. He's got to be ready to go. I know one thing, you know, there was a suggestion that he had said that he had graduated from college and he hadn't graduated. Well, he's graduated now. I mean, they fixed that problem a couple years ago. So, you know, they've been preparing for this a little bit on the way. And you know, there are other things they have to prepare for. Dan Bice on Twitter, Dan Bice is the Journal Sentinel investigative reporter, had a picture of Mandela Barnes with a T-shirt, holding up a T-shirt that said abolish ICE, abolish the immigration service. So I'm sure, you know, he's going to get hit on that. I'm sure he's got to have a response now. I mean, if you were his consultant getting paid that good money, you'd be having him preparing an answer right now for that. And I'm sure they are.
I think Corey Kozlowski and the strategic team over at the Mandela Barnes campaign, I think the Barnes to Barnes tour, I think the advertising, the communications that Mandela's run out,
his ads
very
were
very effective.
The ad with his mom about abortion was a tremendously effective ad.
Well, and I've also liked the ads about, you know, basically any door you go to in Wisconsin, you're going to find good people who work hard. And, you know, he's shown lots of faces, lots of representation of all sorts of Wisconsinites. I'm just like, yeah, those are people like me.
You know, the supermarket ad was a good ad. I mean, he ran a really good campaign. That's why these folks are dropping out.
Yeah.
Give him some credit for that.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I booked a good guest. Give me a little credit for that. He is Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, we're going to get to your grievances in a bit. But let's first turn our attention to the Republican gubernatorial field and the 800-pound Cheeto Messiah coming to Waukesha to stick it to Becky Clayfish on behalf of Tim Michaels. And in the meantime, they're having a proxy battle. I see Walker and Ted Cruz and Mike Pence have now all endorsed Becky. That's going to be the more interesting race, I think, on election night.
Yeah, that's the one to watch now, especially as the Democratic side has sorted itself out. And, you know, I think Michaels is making an error here, even if he wins the nomination, because he has wrapped himself so tightly around Trump that it's going to be hard for him to win against Tony Evers.
In a general election.
In a general election. If he beats Becky Clayfish, which he might, if they're head-to-head, and in the primary, a lot of those Trumpites are going to come out and vote. Whether the more mainstream Republicans, if there are such things left in this state, who are behind Becky Clayfish, whether they outnumber the Trumpites, we'll have to see. But Michaels, I mean, if you saw his ads, first of all, his first ads were racist against immigrants. His second ad, all Trump. Huge truck with a Trump sign. He mentioned Trump's name 10 times. He still mentions Trump all the time. He's getting Trump coming to town in Waukesha for him. If he wins the nomination, I think it's good news for Evers because a lot of people in Wisconsin don't like Trump, if you look at those polls.
But can you, you know, do the Etch-a-Sketch a la Romney between now and the general election? Because a lot of people are just starting to pay attention. And I feel like Rebecca Clayfish is no big fan of Donald Trump, but strategically, she went to Mar-a-Lago. She bent the D. Tim Michaels did it. Rantham did it. They all do it. Hell, Tommy Thompson did it. But I think Michaels, as a contrast to Tony Evers, you know, here's this strapping guy, Marine, you know, served at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He's got an impressive resume. If he didn't live in Connecticut and if he wasn't the grandiose recipient of a lot of family wealth, I'm not a big fan of the rich guys, if you haven't noticed. At least, you know, go earn it. Go do something. But maybe because I haven't figured out how to get rich. I got my Mega Millions, so I'm halfway home.
Good luck on that one.
But Matt, as a contrast, he's a younger, vibrant guy with this physical presence. Next to Tony Evers on the debate stage, he would draw a contrast. But when your contrast is, I'm all Trump, well, that's a negative contrast.
Yeah, I don't see how he can get past that. And Evers won't let him if he wins. But, you know, Becky Clayfish could you know, make a comeback here. I mean, I heard some rumblings among some politicos that that she was losing, that the gap was increasing and Michaels was getting further ahead. But we're not seeing that yet in the Marquette poll anyway. And I think maybe there'll be some bounce back for, you know, moderate Republicans. Let's remember, Waukesha, you know, wasn't big for Trump. I mean, Romney did better in there than Trump did.
Ted Cruz won the state of Wisconsin by double digits in the Wisconsin primary over Donald Trump. People forget that.
Right. Right-wing radio wasn't for Trump at that point.
But then they all brought him home and they told their audience, you got to vote for Trump. You got to hold your nose, do what you got to do, because it's about the U.S. Supreme Court. And ultimately, it was about getting Ron Johnson reelected. And both those things came to pass. Right-wing talk radio may decide, and a couple of the more influential hosts in right-wing talk radio may decide the outcome of this elective process. But here's what Michaels has done. He is spending gobs of money, not just on TV, but unlike our Democratic friends, they actually invest in radio. And Michaels and Ron Johnson are on every radio station. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I've been driving the whole state. I hear their ads everywhere. And if those guys show up in any small town in the state of Wisconsin, they want airtime. Well, they got $25,000 sitting in the owner's tank. Come on in, Mr. Michaels. Let's give you an hour. So I think there's some strategic advantage. I don't know that people know that they have such an outsized advantage outstate. And even back to the former U.S. senatorial race, the 2018 race, I think, with Leah Vukmar. Well, Nichols, is that right, Nicholson?
Nicholson.
Kevin Nicholson, the always perpetually running for something. Kevin Nicholson won 6 of 7 media markets in the state of Wisconsin. And there was no good reason to vote, even as a Republican. The guy's a former Democrat. Right. His mom and dad maxed out the Tammy Baldwin, and he's your choice? But they ran enough advertising outstate that he won 6 of 7 media markets. But Vukmar won right-wing talk radio. The conservative base came home for Leah, and then she got crushed by Tammy in the general. Well, Nicholson and Tim Michaels is dwarfed Nicholson spending outstate. And then you got Right Wing Talk Radio based out of Milwaukee. And if you bring Trump to town, And he's spending gobs of money on IBA, ISN, TMJ. Well, you know, that boss says, hey, host, you know, don't be picking favorites. Let's just keep it clean. Well, if they don't pick Becky, it's going to be hard for her to beat Michaels.
I agree with that. And Michaels has Wisconsin Club for Growth money on his side attacking Becky Clayfish, too. So, you know, she's going to have to do something here.
Matt Rothschild, I brought you down to Eric Grievance. You were down at Ishmael Ozan, the Dane County District Attorney's Office, calling for the prosecution of the fake Trump electors, the fraudulent Trump electors. I'm going to give you some time to talk about that on the other side. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates, nothing but the best of friends and guests, and you on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Under pressure. Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Oh, he's good.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're still doing the Friday edition, but I got a fine guest, and he's making it easy. Co-deviling with me, if you will, he's Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Dom will be back on Monday. I'll be on the road Monday, and then Tuesday, party at the Atomic, let me restate that, party at Hawk's original neighborhood bar, Hawk's on State Street. Please join us there, party on State Street, Hawk's. Devil's Advocates. Dom will be at the party. And then Friday, we're going to Trump in Waukesha. That's the plan. We're going to broadcast live. We're doing it live. But anyways, man, I didn't bring you to talk about those things. You got a grievance about these fake Trump electors. Now, I've had a grievance with the Attorney General, and Dom's made this point often publicly. Josh Call, where are the indictments? But it doesn't just have to be Josh Call, does it?
No. In fact, Josh Call, I understand, has said it's more appropriate for the district attorney to do it. And the district attorney here in Dane County where these crimes were committed is Ishmael Ozan, Ish, as he's called. And so I was there outside the Dane County Courthouse yesterday morning with Mel Barnes from Law Forward, who wrote a letter with her fellow founder of Law Forward 5.5 months ago, asking Ishmael Ozan to investigate these 10 false electors, including Bob Spindella, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, including Andrew Hitt, who was the at least in December 2020 when this all went down, he was head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. It's not like these guys got together on their own. They were following instructions from John Eastman and the whole Trump team crazy folks. And according to Law Forward, there are several laws that these folks may have violated. And Ishmael Ozan, since the potential crimes were committed here in Dane County, it's under his jurisdiction, he should investigate and indict. So I was there urging an indictment. I mean, it's got to be an accountability time. I'd be fine if Josh Call did it. I'd be fine if Ish Ozan did it. I'd be fine if Merrick Garland did it. But someone's got to hold these folks accountable up and down the line. And Merrick Garland's got to indict Trump, and Ish Ozan or Josh Call's got to indict these Wisconsin false electors.
You know, I did talk with Josh Call at the Democratic Party convention. I had him at the table, and I did ask specifically, Josh, what are we doing, man? Are there investigations underway? Can you tell me more? And, you know, we also compared it with Dana Ness's statement, the Attorney General of the state of Michigan. She is certainly doing a parallel investigation. Now, she referred to the Federal Department of Justice, the Michigan AG did, because effectively she said, well, all these papers, they match. This is a conspiracy on a much broader level than the crimes committed here in the state of Michigan. So she also referred to the DOJ, but it appears to me like Nestle's doing an investigation independent of the DOJ. Now, when I asked Josh Call, and he was playing coy, and that's what AGs do.
What did he say, though?
He effectively said, I'm leaving that to the federal government. Mm. You know, he effectively said, we know that there's an investigation going on at the DOJ. Why would I get in their way? That was the impression I got. Now, it's an election year, and I can see a AG that's on the ballot because, of course, federal AG Merrick Garland was appointed, but Josh Call's got to win re-election, or at least he'd hope to. But that'd be a hell of a campaign platform, and I'm not suggesting he would ever make that prosecution for political reasons. But what better reason do you need than standing up for democracy? It's not to go punish your political opponents. It's to show that you're not afraid, as the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, to hold people accountable for their unconstitutional insurrectionist behavior.
Right. And whatever possible downside there may be for Josh Call doing it, there's no downside whatsoever for Ishmael Ozan doing it. He's Dane County DA. He'd get more votes than ever. And he's got a safe seat anyway. So he's got a total free political pass here to do what's right, to enforce the laws and defend our democracy.
Matt, we know there are federal investigations going on. I believe Eastman's phone has been grabbed. I think Peter Navarro's phone might have been grabbed. A couple of the very instrumental guys like Jim Troupas, who's the Wisconsin lawyer that headed up Trump's effort in court often, Greg Cheesebro, he's been intimately involved. We've seen reporting from the New York Times this week of emails that included these guys when the false elector schemes were being laid out. I mean, there were people recipients of the emails calling them fake electors,
yes.
Air quotes.
Some of the Trump folks calling them false electors, fake electors.
Because that's what they were, of course.
Right, the person who responded to it said, maybe a better term is alternate electors and then emoji smiley face. I mean, how cynical are you going to be here?
Let's not call it murder. Let's call it, death by unanticipated means, smiley face. Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. I got Batman, the vigilante of good governance. He's Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, I think this investigation at the Department of Justice, as much as I'd like to see Ish or Josh Call or one of the DAs or AGs, Dems or Republicans, do the job, I think that's where the DOJ is concentrating their efforts now. I'm not sure if they're all the way to the top of the food pyramid yet, but they've moved beyond the seditious conspirators. They move beyond the Oath Keepers, and seemingly the concentration in the DOJ's investigation, at least what's coming out to the public, is on the fake elector scheme. What do you think the punishment should be?
Well, I think the fake electors lead straight up to Trump. And this is a total interference with the Electoral College. It's fraud. And they can get Trump and all the false electors on this. And I think it's leading up to a Trump indictment. I do think we're going to have Merrick Garland Day here, as you've been praying for months and months here.
From your lips to somebody's God's ears.
Devil Radio here. It's going to happen. And maybe he's waiting until the elections in November are over. There's plenty of evidence. There's been plenty of evidence, as you and Dom have been saying for months, for that indictment to come down any day now. But I do think it's going to come down soon. I think Merrick Garland is finally getting off the dime and doing what's necessary from a legal perspective, from a moral perspective, from a historical perspective. I mean, imagine historians writing about this 50, 100 years from now. Holy cow, there was a president who tried to stay in power through a coup, and he wasn't even tried. He wasn't even indicted. I mean, there would be exclamation marks all over that page.
That's what impeachments are for. Of course, there were two of those as well, but the ever so courageous Republicans voted to acquit. Matt Rothschild, last minute here. Does this newest news and indictments pending, perhaps, you think it makes Trump more likely to announce his candidacy right now, soon? And if he does that crystallize what the enemy is for the Democratic electorate?
Well, I think he'll do whatever he can to help him save his hide here, but it's not going to work. And I think anyone from Liz Cheney in the Republican Party all the way to, Bernie Sanders is going to understand that our democracy is at stake right now. This guy's an imminent threat to our democracy, and the indictment is what's necessary to save our democracy.
Matt Rothschild, always appreciate when you come around, Batman. He is Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You're listening to The Devil's Advocates. We're going to roll into the happier happy hour, the 5 o'clock. You can be a part. Your grievances aired here. 844-967-2789.
Laugh now, because you clowns have been on double secret probation since the beginning of the semester.